today's holy gospel. Let's be seated. What went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord here, he praises the greatness of a man, his precursor, St. John the Baptist. Man really worthy of such attributes and praise, because in St. John, we see one of the primary examples of a man fulfilling his vocation to its greatest extent, realizing exactly what he was called by God to do with his life, and letting nothing stand in the way of fulfilling exactly that end, that purpose. John had a special mission. He was to be the one to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. He was to get the people ready to realize this truth, that redemption was at hand. But it was for them to be redeemed, and they needed to make themselves ready to gain these merits in order to hear the word and listen to it, and to follow after Christ, and to do all that was necessary so that they may recognize truth, embrace it, and gain the fruits of our Lord's coming sacrifice. What were those fruits? Those fruits were the forgiveness of sins. Those fruits were the opening of the gates of paradise to them again. Those fruits were following after that New Testament and that way that Christ would lay out the narrow road towards salvation. And so it was necessary for St. John to go and to begin to preach and to make man realize the inconvenient truth. Man is sinful. Man is selfish. He is proud. And he seeks pleasures. And so with this, St. John hears that call. He doesn't hesitate, but he raises himself up and goes to answer it boldly. He goes and strikes a chord with those who will come by and listen, to try to get a movement in their conscience, to hear and recognize their own sinfulness, to beckon them to repent of these things, and to amend their lives so that they may sin no more. These are the things that are necessary for them to be open, to recognize and hear the words of the Messiah, and to profit from everything that he will teach. It is a vocation that requires extraordinary virtue, and it's not hard for us to see that. And above all, it is that recognition of the working of the virtue of fortitude in St. John that stands out most clearly. What exactly is fortitude? Fortitude is the virtue which moderates the passions. So one has the courage to attack and endure evil in the pursuit of good, to bravely encounter evil rather than turn away from the path of one's own duty. We see in the very definition here of fortitude that it is a complex definition, meaning that it is made up of multiple parts. In this case, really, there are two parts to the virtue of fortitude. There's an active and a passive function in this virtue. The active function of fortitude. This is the combating of evil as part of one's duty. To seeing it for what it is, to calling it out for what it represents, and to stand strong against it. St. John does this admirably. Think about his life and all that he does. The strength that it takes of him to go and to stand by the River Jordan and to call out to crowds of passers-by, people as they walk by, going about their daily duty, people who he knows and those whom he doesn't, strangers and friends alike, each one he calls out to from the banks, each one he not only speaks to them, but he points out to them what they least want to look at in themselves. He points out their darkest realities, their hidden aspects, the things they'd rather not think about and certainly do not want brought to light. But he instructs them that it is necessary for them to self-reflect, to look inward, to realize their failings, repent, and amend. And it doesn't matter to him who goes by. Peasant or prince, farmer or king, Herod himself is called out by John. Without hesitation, without trepidation, without fear of what they may think of him, he stands boldly for truth. And he calls out people to turn away from evil. This is the active aspect of fortitude operated by St. John. But we also recognize in him, in his life, the other part, the passive function of fortitude. That he's willing to also endure evil for the greater good. To endure that wickedness in order that he may not stray from his path of his vocation. He calls out Herod, knowing full well the power the man has, knowing also the wickedness of the woman whom he is with, knowing that repercussions could easily fall upon him for doing so. And they do. What takes place? He is rounded up. He is captured. He is thrown into a dungeon. And soon, he willingly lays his own life down for his vocation, for doing exactly what he was called to do. Moreover, if you could even find some level of simple pleasure in a dungeon, he denies himself of this as well. Because he has there amongst him a couple of friends, a couple of people who have been followers for a long time and devotees of himself. Yet, while this might bring a little bit of comfort, companionship there in the darkness, he sends them out because his job is not done yet. He does not want there to be anything mistaken for them to think that he is who he is not, but rather for them to realize exactly who he is called to point them to, the real Messiah, the true Redeemer. And so he sends them away and has them go and find Christ and see all that he has done and hear everything that he preaches and realize that he is the one who, which St. John is not worthy to tie his sandal strap. This heroic fortitude is not something accidental in our saint, but rather is something which is fostered, strengthened, built upon, and embraced in his life. It is a courage that is not natural, but supernatural. And how does our saint find it? It is actually quite simple in its construct, but difficult in its execution. It's the things that we know we ourselves hear regularly talk about. St. John finds virtue from prayer. It is his life of preaching that we regularly focus on in the Gospels. But for every moment that he stands upon the banks of the River Jordan, for every head that he pours water upon in his baptisms there, there are hours spent in prayer, each and every day. So much so that he has removed himself entirely from society. He has taken himself away from living a normal life so that he may, in between rounds of preaching, find himself alone, find himself in quiet, being able to lift up his heart and mind to heaven, being able to call out for the aid that he needs, the strength that he must find. And then he adds to it a life of extraordinary penance. A man that no person could ever claim is rich in luxury or any kind of aspect of self-indulgence and pleasure. No, St. John instead clothes himself in rough camel hair. He lives not under a roof, but under the stars, in the desert, in the heat and the cold. And there he fasts in extraordinary ways, eating only what he may find off of the land, things as locusts and bits of honey. Fortitude. It is a virtue which St. John shows to us by his life, and in turn teaches us to realize that we all must embrace. We have to foster it in our own lives, and we have to practice it each and every day. And when one looks around the world about us, we can quickly realize that it is a virtue perhaps most lacking in the world. It is rare today to hold in our gaze a man of integrity. But that is what we are called to. As Christians, we are meant to live a life of integrity. We are meant to be men of our word, our yeses to be yes, and our noes to be noes. And that in our lives, this virtue must be ever increased, because every one of us must both partake in the active and in the passive parts of fortitude, no matter what we are called to by God as our vocation. At the very least, each of us must actively combat evil in the way of standing against sin and turning away from it in our lives, fighting temptations at every opportunity, to choose to stand boldly beside truth, no matter how many people around us instead choose the comfort of their own lives. It is up to us for us to humble ourselves and see our sins for exactly what they are, and admit them readily to ourselves and in confession, so that they may be forgiven, and then to see them as they are, so that we may amend our ways and grow away from them. And at times we find ourselves in need of withstanding attacks and accusations for our faith and for our virtue and for being different. Because in a world which largely has forgotten truth, those who hold fast to it stand out. And that truth is not one that is brought forward when it is convenient, but it is one that is always embraced, even if we stand alone. And the means to success are the same. They are what St. John embraced: prayer and penance. regularity in our prayers, removing ourselves each day at various points from the noise and the distractions all around us, the things which catch our eyes, the things which cause those moments of instantaneous gratification that is cheap and without substance. And instead, to force ourselves to find the quiet, to raise our hearts, our minds, our eyes up to heaven, and to find that source of strength that we need most. And we must sacrifice. You don't have to eat bugs, but we do have to offer of ourselves and forgo simple pleasures in this life, or else we will be too soft, or else we will not be able to stand against the tides, or else at the first bit of obstacle and difficulty we shall fall. Because it pleases the reed to bend with the wind. It is easy for it to sway back and forth with whatever is going on around it. But if we have fortitude, we remain strong. We stand straight, and we forever reach towards heaven. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.